Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Nicholas Mancini, currently the pastor of Sacred Heart of Mary Parish in Louisville. And he's also the spiritual director for us here at Living Bread Radio. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, Tim.
Yeah, welcome, and it's great to have you again as we continue our discussion from the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church, and we've been talking about heaven, hell, and we finished our last discussion about purgatory. And let's talk again. What is purgatory?
Okay, once again, purgatory, often imagined as a place, is actually a condition. Someone who dies in God's grace, and therefore at peace with God and men, but who still needs purification before he can see God face to face, is in purgatory. Now, when Peter had betrayed Jesus, the Lord turned around and looked at Peter, and Peter went out and wept bitterly, a feeling like being in purgatory. Just such a purgatory probably awaits most of us at the moment of our death. The Lord looks at us, full of love, and we experience burning shame and painful remorse over our wicked or merely unloving behavior. Only after this purifying pain will we be capable of meeting his loving gaze in an untroubled heavenly joy.
So at the end of our lives, when we die and we stand before our Lord, we're going to have our whole life before us, what we did and what we didn't do. And of course, we're going to be painfully aware of all the times that we offended our Lord. So the Catholic Church teaches that if we die in a state of grace, we will get to heaven. But the book of Revelation also says that nothing unclean shall enter heaven. So purgatory is this place or this condition where we are being cleansed and made perfect so that we can enter into that heavenly glory of God.
Yes. And I think here, once again, we have to really understand that purgatory is that cleansing, that longing, that burning with the fire of divine love. And I think here that explanation about Peter says it the best. Because Peter, he went out weeping. He wanted to be with Jesus. He wanted to be there with him. But yet, when he did what he did and turned around and sat there, he realized, wait a minute. That was the Master. What did I do? And now Jesus was gone, and Peter was weeping bitterly because he remembered what Jesus said. You will deny me three times. Not I, Lord. Then he remembered, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. And the third time. So when Peter remembers this, it's like that feeling now, Jesus, I want to be there with you. I love you. But he can't see him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But then when Peter does see him, there is that joy. I am with the Lord. And he remembers everything. I think it's going to be like that with us probably when we go before Jesus. And he says, now, you know, you still have some things here to get cleared up. And when we see the radiance of his light, and then when that light begins to dissipate, we know that at the end there, I could see that little light, and I know it's Jesus. And my soul is longing and thirsting to be with you, Lord. And I feel that remorse, and I want to be there. Then we feel that sense of purity coming over us, and that cleansing. And then the beauty of then that light, and then being with the Lord. I think, too, we have to remember also that St. Nicholas of Tolentino, he had great devotion to the poor souls in purgatory, because he felt that we must pray for them to get them closer to God and into heaven. And so he would offer a mass for the poor souls in purgatory and pray for them. Because one day, a poor monk who had died appeared to him. And he said, "You do not know me, and I am in purgatory. And I want to be with God. Pray for us. Pray for us so that we can be with God." And so he did. He began praying for the poor souls. And when that soul came back to him, he says, "Thank you, because now I am in heaven." St. Pio of Petrocina had the same experience with the man who died in the monastery in a fire. And the brother, he saw him at the edge of the bed. He said, "Who are you?" "I am a soul that lived in this monastery who died here in a fire. Pray for us in purgatory, that we may be with God." And St. Pio did. And then the next time he saw him, he said, "I am with God in heaven." And I think this is important. You know, we have All Souls Day. How many of us take time to pause on that day to pray for our loved ones? And, you know, to offer a mass for them, or to visit the cemetery and pray, you know, "Lord, have mercy on my loved one." You know, we don't know if they're in heaven or not, or in purgatory, but to pray that they can be with God in the beautiful realm of heaven. We cannot forget, and so many times, you know, people say, someone dies, "Oh, what can we do for someone? Let's send them a flower." Well, flowers are nice in themselves. You know, they're part of the beauty of God's creation, but they die. One mass for that poor soul could bring them to heaven.
That's a good point, Father. I mean, I think a lot of people forget that the church teaches that our prayers have great power for our loved ones who have died.
Yes.
St. James says that the prayer of the righteous man is powerful in its effects. So again, it's this beautiful plan of our Heavenly Father for our salvation, where we can help one another get to heaven simply by praying for one another.
Right.
And it's a great way, I think. I think it's the greatest way that we can love one another,
mm-hmm.
is to simply take the time to pray for one another, but especially for those in purgatory, because the church teaches they can't pray for themselves. We are the only ones that can pray for them. And again, by God's grace, help their path to heaven. And again, what are they going to do once they get to heaven? Now they're going to be in the glory of God.
Right.
And they're going to be able to pray for us even more powerfully, being that they're in heaven, and help us in our journey to get to heaven, as well as our loved ones.
Right. And once again, the beautiful statement of Scripture for All Saints Day: "Who are these dressed in white? They are our brothers and sisters before the throne of the Almighty." Yes.
So, good point. So, Father, let's talk about angels. Question 54 asks, what are angels?
Angels are pure spiritual creatures of God who have understanding and will. They have no bodies, cannot die, and are usually not visible. They live constantly in God's presence and convey God's will and God's protection to men. Another way to say it is, angels are pure spirits.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, who is Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, wrote that an angel is, so to speak, the personal thought with which God is turned toward me. So again, each of us have our own personal guardian angel, don't we?
Right, right. And you know, every person receives from God a guardian angel. It is good and sensible to pray to one's guardian angel for oneself and for others. Angels can also make themselves noticeable in the life of a Christian. For example, as bearers of a message, or as a helpful guide. Our faith has nothing to do with the false angels of New Age spirituality and other forms of this antrocentric type of behavior, you know, that is so much played up on TV now. You know, they show all these different types of things with the evil, and then, oh, you see these demonic spirits and things of this sort.
And the vampire shows are unbelievable.
Right. Oh, yes, yes. But, you know, the angels, our guardian angels, protect us and keep us from harm.
They're like God's helpers for us, right?
Right. And, you know, once again, St. Pio said he calls his guardian angel. Yeah, you know, and his guardian angel would be with him. Same with some of the saints. They tell the one story, St. Pio said, forget one thing happened to him, and he prayed to his guardian angel. He said, today you must have been sleeping because I needed you. And, you know, it's sort of a, he made it sort of a, you don't want to say a joke, but he made it in a loving way to remind us, hey, when you get up in the morning, angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, to light, to guard, to rule and guide. Amen. The beautiful prayer the sisters taught us in Catholic grade school or in catechism. To say that prayer, that our angel will protect us in this life and bring us to the kingdom of God's heavenly realm.
Father, some people think that when someone dies, they become an angel. Is that correct?
No, because we go to God's presence. God created angels, okay? And we interact with them. But to become an angel, that's in the hands of God himself.
We're above the angels, aren't we, Father?
Yes, man has that superior being. However, you will notice when a baby dies, we say the Mass of an angel because they are still in that beauty and the purity of God. They are his angels, those precious gifts.
Okay. Well, thanks for clearing that up for us, Father, as we talk today with Father Nicholas Mancini, and we talk about heaven and hell and purgatory and angels and our guardian angel. This has been Tim Perry, your host for Faith with Father. Until next time, may God bless you and yours. Bye for now.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.